are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One more bucket. Pacers needed one more bucket, and they would have beat the Cavs, but no. Pacers come up just short in Cleveland and left us plenty to talk about. Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And today's episode is presented by SeatGeek and the SeatGeek app. Make sure you download the app, use promo code LOPACERS, and get $20 off your first ticket purchase. And if I were you, I'd be getting tickets to game 3 and or 4 at the Fieldhouse. Going to be a good time against LeBron and the Cavs. We'll see if the Pacers can come home with a split after they play Monday night in Cleveland. So on this episode, we'll look back at the Pacers' 109-108 loss in game 1 of their first round playoff series against the Cavs. A grueling loss that left plenty of questions about the last play of the game, about the team's defense. And for me, I want to know what was going on down the stretch in that game when they had plenty of opportunities to put pressure on the Cavs and came up short all the way around. Tough loss, especially considering heading into the game, the Cavs seemed ripe for a game one loss, and it was right there for the taking. But alas, the Cavs held on and, like champs, closed out the Pacers, making sure anyone but Paul George beat him at the end, and Pacers weren't able to get it done. C.J. Miles missed what would be an open 18-footer at the buzzer, and everyone is frustrated with that finish. But before we dive into the details, reminder, hit me up with your frustrations over that finish and anything else about the matchup. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com. or on Twitter at Indy Cornrows. Heard a lot of chatter about this game, and there's more than enough second guessing to go around. I always love the playoff series because everything is so intense, and it's so frustrating when a team loses in the playoffs because you can feel game one, oh no, already down to the Cavs. Now they're going to get rolled. It's going to be a sweep. How are they ever going to hang on? Well, you know, this was a pretty solid effort from the Pacers all around. You know, 1-point loss on the road. They had the game there for the taking. And, okay, let's start at the end. A lot of criticism over the last play. The Cavs ran a double team at Paul George, and he really wasn't quite ready for it, even though that's what they had just done the play prior. But he gave up the ball and was hoping to get it back from C.J. Miles. He had about a half a second possibly where he was open and could have gotten the ball back. Defender was right there. LeBron was right there. A shot he got up would have been fading left and highly contested, or if he went with a pump fake, might have been able to get around, free himself, and get a shot up. Hard to tell with the timing. C.J. Miles didn't think there was enough time with 4 seconds left. So he did the pump fake, got the flyby, and got an open look. And what is C.J. Miles? All he is, not all he is, but primarily he's in the league because he's a shooter. He can knock down shots. He got a look that I'm sure he would love to have 100 more times. And he'd probably make, I don't know, 90 of them that open. So obviously, game winner, playoff series, that's the shot he hasn't taken. And he just pulled the string out of it a bit and bounced off short. And a lot of talk about after the game because Paul George wanted that ball back. And he got on CJ after the game, talked about that in the media. CJ understood, you know, obviously the play was to get Paul George a shot. That was the primary option. Didn't happen. Now, the day after, on Sunday afternoon, meeting with the media, some reports, saw a story from Bob Kravitz, which had some good quotes, and you know, after day off, Paul George kind of stepped his comments back, saying it was a bit of the heat of the moment, probably shouldn't have been so harsh on CJ. But for his part, and this is why, you know, CJ is one of the best guys in the locker room to talk to, He's just genuine. He understands. He doesn't mind the criticism. And he still thinks that, he would have taken that shot again because of the situation and the way he felt. He didn't have time to get the ball back to Paul for Paul to get a shot. So, they can hash that out, talk about it. But the good thing was they were harsh about it with each other. They did talk it out. And that's, where a team kind of comes together and you know how you can lean on guys down the stretch in those tough situations. And, I'm fine with Paul having that emotional feeling after the game. He also, was hit on Sunday with the fact that, there's stats flowing around on Twitter and social media about the fact that PG is 0-for-15 in his career in shots to give his team the lead. Now, he's had some big shots to tie a game. He's made 3 huge free throws early in his career at Miami. Unbelievable. And, he's made plenty of big shots. And after the three-pointer that he drilled with about 40 seconds left, there's no doubt in my mind if he had any airspace, he would have had a really good chance of burying that game winner in this one. And I'm sure he felt that way, too. And, different player right now. In different circumstances, as opposed to, if you break down all those 15 prior attempts. So, as he said, he thinks he's going to make the next 15. And also, Kravitz got some comments from Larry Bird about the situation and related it to a play he had in the playoffs where the exact same thing happened. Same part of the floor, he was double-teamed, gave up the ball to Dennis Johnson, who he said was not as good a shooter as C.J. Miles, but D.J. knocked down the game winner, and they won, make or miss. C.J., that's a great look. He really could live with that play, was happy with it. And, honestly, thinking about some of the Pacers' late-game situations over the past few years and some of the poor shots they've gotten or, how the clock's wound down and they got nothing going and they're throwing up a prayer, I mean, that open look was nice. For a faint second, I had thoughts of Byron Scott knocking down a big shot in the playoffs that kind of got the Pacers over the hump back in the 90s. But alas, that thought was fleeting because the ball bounced and Pacers didn't win. So, again, that last shot was primary discussion point after the game because it was so frustrating, but there were plenty of other areas where the Pacers came up short. And I go back right to the fact that there were so many bad possessions before that last one. With 3 minutes left, game is tied. And the Pacers got a couple of stops within that period, but unfortunately were unable to capitalize on it. And in particular, two plays, Jeff Teague got caught. His shot was blocked or swiped, essentially, by Kyrie Irving on one play. And then another play, the Cavs were literally leaving Lance Stephenson wide open and baiting him to shoot it. And he finally took the bait. One time, fired a three-pointer and missed. Now, obviously, Lance has been shooting the three decent. He makes it. We're all celebrating. But he didn't. And, you can kind of tell the way he was bouncing that he didn't really want to give in to the fact they were giving him that shot. And it kind of messed with his rhythm and certainly, I'm sure, his confidence shooting it. And he missed. And then another possession, Pacers have a chance to close. And Miles Turner ends up facing up with Kyrie Irving with the ball down and just gets it ripped from him. So, those are possessions where, you did get the shot with Lance, not the shot you want. The other two possessions, you don't even get a shot up. And the Cavs are able to extend the lead to 9. And then, as I mentioned, PG buried that killer three-pointer from a few feet behind the arc dead on. And then they get the stop, and then they have the chance to win. Oh, 20 seconds left, down 1. As I said on Twitter, the house, the back door was open to the house. The home security system was off, and the W was just sitting there on the kitchen table waiting for someone to steal it, and the Pacers had it there. They could not get it. Ran into the glass door or something, but, that's going to hurt But they get another chance, game two on Monday, and then back at the field house on Thursday for game three, Sunday for game four. But if you're like me, you're hunting for tickets, family and friends looking for extra seats, I was able to get a couple on SeatGeek using the great SeatGeek app and was able to use my promo code LOPACERS, get an extra $20 off. The purchasing experience couldn't have been easier or more smooth, and all set to get into the field house. I'm actually looking for a couple more now, so probably repeat that process again before Thursday, because it's so easy with SeatGeek. You know, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. As I said, I just used the app to purchase two tickets on Friday, and now I'm looking to get a couple more, so I will definitely repeat the process. Because everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, just download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter promo code LOPACERS. That's all one word, all caps, LOPACERS. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LOPACERS today. All right, so the other egregious area of complaint following the Pacers game was the way they were defending, in particular, Kyrie and LeBron in the pick and roll and constantly switching, and which often led Jeff Teague on LeBron James. In other situations, you know, smaller guard on a bigger player, but primarily the most glaring cases had LeBron James just pounding away on Teague with no help coming after a switch, and he scored, you know, I think about a third of his 32 points over Teague, and that just isn't going to work. So the Pacers were fine switching when they had a little more size on the court, but when, you know, it's Thad Young or Paul George switching off LeBron or off Kevin Love, then the smaller player, you know, Aaron Brooks, Jeff Teague, whomever, is in trouble on that. And the Cavs were smart enough to, you know, run it as much as they could and get that situation and leave the Pacers fighting to, you know, what are you going to do, leave your guy and help or leave a three-point shooter open? And that's the way the Cavs are set up right now. You know, when they had Kevin Love out there, Channing Frye, Kyle Korver, you know, along with LeBron or Kyrie, you know, those guys can spread the floor, and you're either going to be left on an island with your man or you're going to get help, and they're going to kick it out for a three-pointer. And Pacers really, you know, stayed at home on their guys for the most part, but it hurt them in that switch. So going to have to do things a little differently, whether it's, you know, Teague just busting through that pick and roll and trying to hang with Kyrie, or maybe they're sagging to help a little bit on Kyrie, but having, you know, the bigger player stay with LeBron. One thing that will help as well, possibly, is if Glenn Robinson III can play along with Lance. That gives him a lot of size and length on the floor and a completely different dynamic if they want to switch, and gives them an extra body to put on some of those bigger players. But for, you know, some more details on that, let me point you to Caitlin Cooper's article on IndyCornrows.com, where she broke down some of the egregious situations, had some videos, some pictures, really smart look at how the defense really hurt the Pacers and how they're going to have to, as she put it, switch the way they're switching. So hopefully that will be an adjustment. That's what the playoffs are all about, game-to-game adjustments. So, you know, the Cavs will be ready for something different, but Pacers are going to have to come up with a little different plan. Otherwise, the Cavs will say, okay, we'll just keep pounding away at those guards if you're going to switch them on to LeBron. So we'll see how the Pacers fare coming back after that tough loss for Game 2 on Monday night. You know, I mentioned before the series started that I felt like Game 1 was the one for the Pacers to steal, and maybe, you know, the most critical game to keep this series in play for the Pacers. You know, they fall down 0-2. That's going to be a struggle because you feel like, oh, are they going to be able to hold both home court games like they did against Toronto last year? That's going to be tough against the Cavs, especially what we saw with LeBron really being on point in that game. But it's a shame there were so many other, you know, the defense, yes, that was bad. But the Cavs struggled to stop the Pacers as well. It kept them in the game. But there were so many other little things that were going the Pacers' way. And it's hard to imagine they're going to be in that same situation in Game 2. Sad to say. You know, you look at the numbers, just the fact that, yeah, Kyrie Irving had 23 points, but he took 27 shots. He was 1 of 9 from behind the arc. Kyle Korver took 0 3-point shots. Great job by the defense, not giving up any looks for Korver, but, you know, that's going to be tough to maintain throughout the series. Also, free throws. The Cavs shot 27 free throws, only made 14. So they had a bad night shooting from the floor, you know, barely over 50%. Whereas the Pacers, you know, made 17 of 20 on their end. And also, you know, they had Scott Foster as a referee, who's usually pretty friendly in the playoffs to the road teams. And, you know, all these little situations add up, and it was almost like a perfect storm because, you know, you had the Cavs who had eased through the end of the regular season and having to ramp up to, you know, playoff level, whereas the Pacers had been playing for their lives down the stretch and were already playing at a high level. And, you know the Cavs are going to flip the switch, but this is a game where they're still trying to find their groove. And as I mentioned with the shooting, you know, they weren't all there. And this was the big opportunity to grab a win early in the series and flip it on its head. But the Pacers just came up short. And it's, you know, looking at Game 2, you think, okay, they're in this thing. A couple adjustments here. And, you know, we know the Pacers have been playing well with Lance back in the lineup. No need, and, you know, hearing people talking about, oh, we need to start Lance instead of Monte. No need to shake up the rotations right now. They're working pretty well. And, you know, the defense, you know, that would alter the defense a little bit. But 48-minute game, LeBron's playing, you know, he played 43 minutes. Lance is going to be out there plenty, and he's not going to play that many minutes. So you're going to have these rotations a little better. You don't want to, as McMillan said, you don't want a rotation coming off the bench with Monte and Aaron Brooks. Now, you know, he's not mentioning Glenn Robinson III. We'll see if he's available. He's hoping to be available for Game 2. If that's the case, that'd be great. But at this point, I think Pacers need to go with what's working. And really, we'll see how they play in Game 2 to really see how it's working. Because honestly, again, this is a game I think, you know, Pacers could lose by 20 easy just because the Cavs are rolling now. And that Game 1, there were so many things that were going in the Pacers' favor. And, you know, again, they just came up short. You can't expect all that stuff to go right again and still have a great chance of winning at the end unless the Pacers really are playing at a level where, you know, they're forcing all that on the Cavs and they can play with them. I just have to see it. So we'll see if Lance can continue to play well. Again, he's been doing so well with Seraphin out there as well. You know, that second unit is in really good shape with those guys. So we'll see if they can get something out of Glenn Robinson III to help that defensive effort. But if not, it is going to be tough to rise up and play to that same level. And then it's going to become an emotional war for the Pacers to come back home. And they're going to be desperate to win Game 3. But first, Game 2, Monday night, 7 p.m., TNT. national audience. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Again, you can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And again, thanks for listening. You can find the show on audioboom.com or subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. Well, that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.